We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everybody. This is Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. Jesse is with me as always. How's it going, Jesse?
Pretty good. I was sick.
Did you have a good Valentine's
Day? But I am no longer sick. What did I do Valentine's Day? That was a good question.
I gave you a heart cookie.
It's true. It's a pretty good cookie.
It was actually from my mother.
Yeah.
She cooked like a little plate of cookies and then dropped them off at my house. And then I was like, here, Jesse, do you want a big cookie?
I didn't. That probably was the highlight of my Valentine's Day, to be honest.
Best Valentine's ever.
What day of the week was Valentine's Day?
Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, so I worked. Whatever. Spoiler. I'm single. So.
You said that with such a monotone
Maybe one of my goalies got a shutout or something. Who knows? Maybe that was like something positive for that day. No, pretty mediocre Valentine's Day. Nothing to report on there. So before we start, though, I do want to address the flame we've been receiving. Well, I have been receiving anyway about...
On Twitter is in an uproar.
Yeah, I think it was insane. I think we broke the internet. apparently, the creators of South Park are American. I swear to God, I thought they were Canadian. I don't know what to say.
One from Colorado and one from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, the Colorado makes sense. South Park's in Colorado for the town. I thought just because they made Canada fun of Canada so much that they moved to the States and it was just like a gag joke to them because they're Canadian.
Sounded right when you said it.
It sounded right to me, man, and I still feels right. I swear they're Canadian. But yeah, it is what it is. They're American. Doesn't change my opinion on anything or whatever. This is still the best. It's still awesome. But
we just need to get those
facts. I just
want to
say thank
there.
You for correcting me. If I'm wrong, I do like learning, so it is what it is. But yeah, I would have thought they're Canadian, so thanks for pointing that out.
Setting you straight.
Yeah, it's good to
know. Keeping you on track. Yeah,
those Yanks are funny.
You guys know where to find us at Fantasy NHL Talk. Tons and tons of questions, tons and tons of polls. I'm trying to get to all of them. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to leave like a little bit of explanation why I'm picking these guys, like high upside, rest of season, better lines, injuries, you know, that kind of stuff. Hope that helps you guys make a playoff push. Before we get into the meat of the podcast, quick question for you.
What do you got?
With the trade deadline fast approaching, I think it's in...
Yeah, I was going to say, is it 2 weeks now?
9 days.
Okay, 9 days, yeah.
So just a little over a week. How do you navigate the trade deadline for your fantasy team?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you can't really do anything till you wait and wait, I guess, till you guys get played.
A lot of leagues have like roster freezes.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I mean, if you can do something after the trade deadline, obviously you can start doing stuff. Teams like Ottawa, if they sell Duchesne and Stone, for example, I mean, you never want their goalie, I guess. Like, you want to avoid teams that are sellers. Like, I mean, the Rangers, you don't want Lundqvist anymore. You don't want any of those.
Yeah.
Even some of your really good guys could turn out to be kind of busty, especially if they're centermen. Like, say you have Duchesne, and we were talking about this before the podcast, where he goes from first-line center to a depth center somewhere.
Right.
He's not going to get as many points and opportunities, so there actually is chances to... I mean, you could be crazy 3D chess and trade these guys for someone that's like doing just as well right now and try to get something. I mean, because like, if Duchesne, say he went to whatever, Nashville for some freak reason, so he goes from first-line center in Ottawa to possibly third-line center, I mean,
yeah,
he'd get the power play turn. Yeah, so definitely... less opportunities there kind of thing. It really depends. I mean, if Stone goes to Winnipeg, wingers are okay. He'd probably be top six. That's okay.
He'd probably play with Line A.
Yeah. And if it's a superstar, obviously like a Panarin or something, it's fine. It doesn't matter where they're going to go. So those are kind of little intricacies you could worry about.
Okay, I got three for you.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I mean, in our league, we freeze after the trade deadline. So I don't really know what to do. But honestly, I just wait. If one of my goalies gets traded, then it's something to look at. I own Bobrovsky, so it's like, okay, if he gets shipped to some absolute trash team, then I have to make a trade, obviously. But beyond that, that's what it is. So what do you got? Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Interrupting you there.
No. That's what we do on this podcast. We're interrupting lots. So I got three main things that I look at. Like I said, like you said, our league has a freeze, so there's no more trading after the trade deadline. You just got to kind of ride out what you have on your team. Mm-hmm. Games played.
Yeah.
It's about that time of the season where you start looking at games played. How many games do they have left? Is a certain team
four
games back? Yeah. That's four games up coming down the stretch that you get in your pocket.
Yep.
So keep an eye out for those guys. If you're looking at two identical players, one on your team, one on the waivers or something, pick that guy up with more games. Second one is healthy guys. Mm-hmm. Due to the freeze, you're not going to be making any moves, so get guys that are healthy. I don't want Malkin, because I know he's going to miss another 10 games the rest of the season. Right? You don't want those guys. You want the guys like, you know, Thornton that's going to play mm-hmm. every single game down the stretch, and Kane, Taves, those guys are going to be money. Last one is teams that are making a playoff push. Load up on St. Louis guys. Load up on Chicago guys. Minnesota, I think they're gonna do something weird. I don't think Minnesota's going to make it this year.
I hope they don't. It's a waste of time for them to be there. But we'll see if they do or not. I agree.
But you know what I mean. Those teams that are in playoff hunts that are going to be making a huge push right now, get those players because they're all going to have to, you know, put up or shut up right now.
Yeah,
this is the stretch.
For sure. Because I was thinking this exact opposite of where, as you're saying. I was like the teams that are super secure. Your Vasilevsky, he might not get any more starts.
Right.
Like, yeah. They might just shut him down, give him one, and Domingue the best. And Domingue the rest of the starts. Dudes like, who else is up there on the standings? I'd have to look. But any super mega top team, Toronto, Anderson might start getting rests. Lots of those guys. So that's something to definitely keep track of if you're into the later parts of the season.
Yeah.
I kind of like having crappy goalies for that reason. Not crappy goalies, but not the...
Like timeshare?
Yeah, not the tier one super guys. Like, I mean, Bobrovsky's going to play every game. That's fine. Murray's going to play every game because they're not really... Like, they still need points.
Yeah.
So, hopefully you amassed a ton of points from your guys like Vasilevsky and stuff like that, and you can afford to take some chiseling because, I mean, there's no way that these guys are just going to keep playing that. I think... So it is another thing to look at, but I mean, if you're in those head-to-head leagues, I think playoffs are like basically the next couple weeks anyway, so you should be okay. Where I'm just talking about like when it like gets to game 70 or something like that, there's a chance some starters only play three of the next 12 kind of thing. So,
and that's every fantasy owner's nightmare is when they start splitting goalie time.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I need these points, then all of a sudden, oh, Vasilevsky's played one in the last eight or... whoever mega team doesn't need to play anyone anymore. Hopefully Jimmy rests, or I don't know who else is up there. Rennie rests or something. Yeah. So
would you rather have Luongo or like Frederick Anderson?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Luongo's, they're making a push. Luongo's going to play every game.
Yeah. Same also thinking I was like St. Louis goalies. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Binnington or Allen or something. I was like, those are the guys you want because they're going to play the hot guy as they have in Binnington, and he's going to play 40 straight.
Yeah.
Like, they need every 2 points, just like Carter Hart, if Philly wants any hope, or all these bubble teams, Minnesota's, your Colorado's, your Dallas's. I mean,
they were talking about Bishop too, yeah.
Yeah, like these guys have to play every single game. So it may sound kind of counterintuitive, but there's nothing wrong with trading Vasilevsky right now to get one of those kind of goalies and maybe a roster player and just hope for the end of the year kind of thing. Because there's no way Vasilevsky's going to play 65 games. They want the guy fresh as a daisy for the playoffs. So I would be very surprised. And it's definitely little savvy moves like that you can make. So
especially if you're like not in the running right now, like if you're fourth or fifth in your league, you're sitting on Hellebuck or Vasilevsky, like trade them for a Panarin and a Hart.
Yeah.
Like get two back that are going to play the rest of the year and make a push
for your
stud.
Yep.
That actually goes nicely into the starts of the news because we were just talking about Bishop.
That's true.
The reason that they're not bringing back Bishop right now is because they want him to play the lion's share going down the stretch.
I mean, it makes sense.
So they're just going to wait. Like, he's okay to play right now, but they just want to give him a couple more days extra rest.
To be like, hey, you're going to do 10 in a row.
And then they're going to give him everything.
And then one off, 10 in a row, kind of thing.
The back-to-back is the only thing that he's not going to be playing going down the stretch. So I like Bishop going forward. That's a sweet pick, but he's injured right now. Mm-hmm. Pasternak, 2 weeks with a thumb injury.
Yeah, I still haven't found anything more about it. I've heard things that it was at a wedding or a party. Someone said he fell on his thumb. I don't guess.
There was drinking involved.
I'm assuming he's hammered, and it's just not the best decision making. Yeah.
So what they said was 2 weeks. 5 games. I looked it up. That's how many games he's going to miss. But then they said after this 2 weeks, he's going to be reevaluated.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
That scares me. I don't want it to be reevaluated. Yeah. I just want him to come back.
I doubt he's going to have some it's crazy thumb setback.
Like, just tape it up. You don't need your thumb, do you?
Especially if it's like your your top hand thumb seems kind of useless.
You need to hold on to the stick somehow. But
yeah, but I mean, you're still like okay, I think. I mean, if it's your bottom thumb, that gets a lot of use, I feel. Well, I play hockey, whatever. We all play hockey. I'm just trying to think, like, you hold a hockey stick.
It's just funny watching you pretend to hold a hockey stick right now.
This thumb needs to wrap over, right? Like, I'm right-handed, for example, so my right hand holds the bottom of the stick, so you need your right thumb. I'm just saying, as my left hand, my thumb is worthless on my left hand.
Yeah, it doesn't really... Well...
Like, you just tape it. Yeah, it's literally worthless. It's like... You hold it with your fist, you'd be fine. I mean, whatever, I'm not an elite hockey player, but I'm just still saying that... I'd have to look at which thumb got injured, and then I can make an assessment. I'm saying if I was my right thumb, I'd be pretty bummed. But if I slip my left thumb, man, 2 days, splint it, get me in there. I mean, you need to win some games. So I would be very surprised if after the 5 games, they're like, yeah, he needs another week off. It was complications in thumb or something. So we'll see that.
Too much Fortnite with his thumb.
I mean, if Boston wins 10 in a row and they're 20 points up, maybe they'll let him rest another game. I don't know. We'll see.
Those are the hard-hitting facts. That's why you come to hockey talk. Us talk about which thumb wraps around the hockey stick.
I'm dead serious, man. You guys can tweet back what you think, but you don't need your left thumb, I'm sorry, or your right thumb if you're left-handed. It seems worthless to me.
All right, let's keep going through some of these other guys. Koivu is out the year.
I guess he's just done. That's fine.
I don't think he was on many rosters. He was kind of having a down year anyway. Ehlers had a setback. So he needs a couple more weeks. They were trying to get him skating, I guess. Mm-hmm. Had a setback. They're going to arrest him more. That's a big hit for Winnipeg that doesn't look really good right now.
No, but that's really good for Stone.
That's really good for Stone.
Because that team needs a winger more than anything, and I think they're going to pay this guy $9 million and just get him on his team. I don't know what they're going to give up. Maybe they give up Ehlers. Maybe that's the play. I mean, it's just... Do Winnipeg want to give up draft picks? Well, I don't know what they want to give up, but everything I read is Stone is going to Winnipeg. He scored against them last night, so it's not like they're not aware of his presence of any way.
Okay, let's go on to that that Ottawa stuff. Before that, Taylor Hall is skating.
Okay, cool.
So that's good. They wanted him back before the end of the season. He's going to try to rush back because they're out of a playoff spot. And
I'd have to look.
They need him.
Where is... Jersey's got to be buried, though, right? Is there any point of... I mean, they're not going to rush him, obviously, back. He can't MVP them into another playoffs, can he, you think, in 20 games? If they win 18, maybe? I don't know. The East is crazy.
Either way, you're just kind of holding on to him right now. Okay, let's talk about the Duchene and Stone and Dzingel stuff from Ottawa.
Right.
So this came out today. Duchene is out. He is not going to be an Ottawa Senator.
Oh, okay.
Ottawa has started the renegotiating for Stone's contract.
Interesting.
And then Dzingel was missing practices, and I saw on Twitter, I don't know if it was fake or not, but that he was like out of the locker room.
Okay. Well, he definitely played last game.
He played last game, yeah.
But you never know. I mean, it could be just super, super recent.
Or something that's like in the works.
Or
like,
works,
can
for
we
sure.
get this trade done before the game?
Yeah.
Or is he
maybe
gonna
he's
play
being told like you might be a healthy scratch, like ground zero, or sorry, not ground zero, like time zero of the game kind of thing.
Yeah.
So be prepared.
So Duchene looks like the one that's going to be traded for sure.
I mean, to me, this makes the most sense to, I mean, if we want to believe that the Senators have any chance of being competitive in the next 5 years, they need Stone, no matter what.
I actually keep Duchene over Stone.
Duchene's
a little younger, isn't he?
I mean, he's younger, but he's just a centerman, and who cares, trade him. I like wingers more than centermen. I don't think center, but whatever, I don't know where Duchene's going to go. I don't know what you can get for this guy. Obviously, they paid a first when they got him, so they're probably going to be looking for a very similar return, if not the exact same. Teams that could use him? Yeah, there's some teams. But
Calgary was a rumor?
Yeah, well...
They didn't want to give up picks, though.
I like Stone to Calgary more than I like Duchene, just because Stone could take Frolik's spot on the second line or something like that. Duchene, they already have two really good centermen in, like... Obviously, Monahan and then... Backlund is the second-line center.
See, they could use him.
Or no, not Backlund. Who's the second-line center? It's Backlund, right? Because it's Backlund, Tkachuk, Frolik. Yeah, it's the three Michaels line. because they all start with the name Michael. Yeah.
Oh, really? They all have name Michael?
Yeah, the 3M line or something is what they call it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really, really clever.
Let's see. I'm trying to pull it up here.
Yeah, your computer's killing us here.
It's too slow.
All right, that's fine. Whatever.
I don't know, like, Stone signing there long-term, does that help the organization?
I mean, it doesn't. I don't know either. I'm saying, like, Stone is their best player. They're all just two Michaels and a Matthew. Three M's.
For that second line.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, what do you do with Duchesne? You bump Bennett to the fourth line, I guess? Or you make Duchesne play wing? Duchesne can play wing, he's proven before.
I think they'd get Backlund out of there, yeah. He'd have to be up there. Yeah. That doesn't seem like a fit for him then.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. Like Stone I like because then you can bump for a leak and then it obviously helps, but Stone is worth a lot of money. I don't know what that team's gonna do. I don't know what they're gonna do. I think Stone is better than Duchesne, so whether that matters, we'll see. Dzingel is just like a depth piece. He can score. So
young guy.
We'll see what they want to do with him. I would just keep him, to be honest. I mean, like, I would move Duchesne, get your first pick back, and unless the return is really good for Stone, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's not saying Stone won't go.
Yeah, of course, it's all
speculative. They're starting the negotiations again with
Stone.
They
want him. I mean, he's a fantastic player, don't get me wrong. So
yeah, and there's no negotiation with Duchesne. So
yeah,
he will be gone 110%. Mark my words. Yeah, sooner rather than later, probably. Dzingel is kind of going to be a different piece.
Maybe he goes with Duchesne for something.
Yeah.
In the same thing, and they get something back, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, let's talk about the trades that happened this past week.
Okay.
Some small,
yeah,
maybe fantasy relevant.
Yeah, well, one is pretty fantasy relevant.
Let's start with the Spooner. Okay, so Spooner start for,
from the bottom.
Like for Gagne.
This is a trade that basically covers your boy Virtanen being dead. So Gagne was rotting in the AHL, so he gets to go back to you.
Gagne has 40-point seasons Oilers. With Oilers already.
Yeah. He knows the city and the world. Maybe he'll... I don't know. They're gonna start this guy probably on the top line. So the hilarious thing is Gagne might actually be like a weak play.
Yeah.
And he might actually just hammer off like 6 points in 7 games or something, and like, which would be sweet. Spooner, I see, not doing anything.
Spooner is I like him going to Vancouver as like a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get, I mean, the guy's on the top six. There's Anton Roussel's on the top line. Vertanen was on like top six. I mean, come on. Spooner, they got to move the guy there. So we'll see what happens. He's definitely going to get an opportunity.
And both teams, actually, Benning was sent down for Edmonton to make room for Gagne.
Yeah, more cap.
So they both have like playing time coming mm-hmm. right out of there. Not really fantasy relevant.
Yeah.
Spooner dynasty?
No, I don't want any part of these guys.
Okay.
I mean, no, I can't do it. I can't positively advocate for Spooner right now. There's no way.
All right. The other one was Cam Talbot for Stolze.
Stoller, or whatever. Yeah.
Stoller from Philadelphia. 1-for-1 goalie. Straight up.
This is a trade that benefits both teams, actually, really well.
Yep.
Basically, what I was reading, because I was trying to figure out what the Philly aspect, but the Philly aspect of this trade is that Stallers was becoming an RFA next year, and this just lets them clear that headache of having to deal with him, and it sounds like they're just going to release Elliott because he's done. I think his contract's this done. So this lets them have two goalies now that they like, and they're kind of youngish. They got some high potential,
yep.
So good for them. They got Talbot and Hart. Apparently, they have some synergy together. We were reading.
They work out together.
They work out.
They played together in the offseason.
Yeah, they're BFFs or something. So that's good for them. The Oilers get a joke. They get a salary dump. Fantastic. So now that their Kosakainen contract doesn't look as asinine as it is.
Yeah.
Now that they got a. So, fantasy implications. Kosakainen's a beast now.
He's. Their Whether goalies are taking up $3 million out of their salary cap.
Yeah, now it's what it should be. So that's good. Whether you trust the Oilers to win a bunch of games going down the stretch is up to you. To pick Kosakainen, I don't know if I believe they're going to do anything.
Hey, I have him on my list later on. Spoiler alert.
Well, he's going to get every start, man. It's just up to
Spoiler you. Alert.
Well, it's just up to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stallers ain't coming in to take anything over. The dude's a career backup, so that's what it is. Yeah. What else about you got on there?
The only other one I wanted to mention was that Zuccarello, we've mentioned him before, being on the trading block with Hayes.
Right.
Nashville has reached out to Zuccarello. that came out today.
Yes, yes.
And we were talking just before the podcast that Nashville does this. They go for like a second line player.
Yeah, top nine.
They don't want to pay big money, but they want to like get some little guys like the tourists, like Ryan Johansson and stuff like that, just to build their team. This is a Nashville move.
Yeah, it's classic like, Nashville. It's just it's like our team is really, really good, and we hope this one fluke piece is the one to do it.
They're just getting more forward depth, which is fine because they have none.
Yeah, they're really they're a weird team. I don't know.
I think that's a good fit, though.
Yeah, I mean, sure, Zuccarello, he's, you know, he moves the puck around. He's got heart. I like him a lot. I think he's a great player. Do I think he helps him win the Stanley Cup? No, but, yeah, you never know. So we'll see. Nashville needs to do something, though, I think. At least
if they want to make an honest something. Run, they need a little more.
I don't know if it's Duchesne or if it's whatever the guys are selling, Hayes or something. I'm trying to think of the sellers.
Simmons.
Yeah, those Simmons. Kind of guys they need something. So that's good. So we'll see. Zuccarello is going to go somewhere, so that's good for him.
Yeah, and if Nashville's already, like, if that's public knowledge that Nashville has met with him, then, I mean, he's going somewhere. Okay, let's jump into schedule before we get into the meat. Canucks play two times this week.
Yeah, so don't
bench your Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, play Pedersen, Horvat, obviously the other cool guys, Boser, etc. Markstrom will play both those games for sure.
Yep.
Beyond that, yeah, dead week for the Canucks, so.
A lot of teams with four games this week. I really like Calgary and Chicago. Calgary plays Arizona, Ducks, Ottawa, and Islanders.
Yeah, three of those should be wins, and one should be a shutout for the Islanders, just because that's the theme of the world these days.
They got a good defensive team, I guess, now. And then Chicago plays Ottawa, Detroit, Avalanche, Dallas. That's as long as they keep playing how they're playing, that's four wins for them.
Yeah, I would agree.
And that puts them into a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Calgary plays he's going to play against Ryan Miller, the GOAT himself, Kevin Boyle, with his shutout.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be a shelling of a game for Calgary, so definitely start your guys against those dudes.
Yeah, Calgary and Chicago, I love both those teams. Light up your guys. All right, let's go into the meat. Okay. So this week, since we just had Valentine's Day, I thought that we could show a little love, you know, send a little love out to these players. We got a list of about 15 guys here that rest of season we're banking on or putting our money behind. We're giving them a little love.
Yeah.
They deserve it. They've worked hard to get here.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting on the waiver wires. Pick them up. Take them out on a date. Give them some chocolates.
Give them a spin.
First one I wanted to talk about is like a little more of a controversy. Controversial? There, that's what I was trying to say. Guy. Justin Schultz just came back from a lengthy injury. He got a point, first game back.
Hey.
What do you think about Schultz?
I like Schultz. He's on a powerhouse team. They got a lot of 5-on-5 goals with Crosby and Gensel. I think it's great. Pittsburgh has god-awful defense. They got guys like Pettersson and just
Dumoulin.
Dumoulin's really good. But not really fantasy, obviously.
Yeah, not fantasy.
But I'm just trying to think. Yeah, so, I mean, Schultz is going to get those big minutes again. He'll hop into the second power play unit, which is whatever, on Pittsburgh. It's not like it's going to blow your mind or anything. I think, I mean, if you really need help on defense, for sure.
There are people out there.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
My team has been decimated with injuries.
I mean, our league is very vanilla light right now on the number of defense you can have. We went from 5 to 3 this year, so I'm not looking at anyone anymore because everybody has basically studs on their team. Obviously, if you're in a deeper league or any sort of thing, I think Schultz is great. I think Pittsburgh is not close to clinching in the playoffs. They're in a wild card spot right now.
Yeah.
They're going to try to win and score as many goals as they can.
They're going to activate Schultz all the time.
Schultz is going to be, I think, a great pickup. I like it. And if he's already getting points after being injured, so he's not really
just one
step. Well, hey,
one and one.
Well, then random secondary assist, maybe. You know, that's all right.
Let's keep the theme going with some defense. I don't think we need to talk about Spurgeon anymore because he is starting to get picked up. He's starting to be owned in about 35% of leagues.
Well, I think he has 15 goals or something.
And that's since the Dumba injury.
Yeah, like he's getting a lot of stuff on there. Yeah, Suter takes some assists every once in a while, but every time I look at a Minnesota game, I swear he has 2 or 3 points.
I told you, man. I told you.
It's crazy. So he's heating up, and if Dumba's probably They'll probably just rest him to the playoffs, I'm guessing.
I don't think he's going to come back.
Or does he? I don't know what it is. That's that crazy peck. I don't own him. I haven't looked at him since you told me what happened like 2 months ago. So is what it is with him. So, yeah, I think Spurgeon is great.
Okay. Dahlin? He's cruising along. He's got 4 points in his last six. He's been surprisingly above average the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
For a rookie coming in, that's awesome. Dynasty, this guy is like shooting up my board with Shabbat and Dahlin are like back-to-back now.
Yeah, these guys are beasts. For the rest of the season, Dahlin is going to be fine. Buffalo, hopefully, I don't know, they might be playing some meaningless hockey soon, but that's even better because it lets you rookies just develop, pinch, do what you want kind of thing, no punishments. So I like that for him.
I think he's going to be awesome going forward. And if they're going to make a push, he's going to be part of it.
Yeah.
Gustafson?
Oh, yeah.
Also a rookie in Chicago.
Right? Yeah.
He has 8-8. I love this pick. I think he's going to be my number one defense that I will put my flag in this year, or for the rest of the year anyway, because Chicago is going to make a push.
I like this pick a lot. I really do, because I think that Chicago might also get rid of Keith as a seller.
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs, or if it becomes bleak, and then this guy's going to get super opportunities. Because I think I've talked to Keith before about waiving his there's no move clause.
Yep.
Seabrook has an unmovable contract, so he's going to rot there till he's done. But I think Keith is something that could be moved eventually, maybe even this year, and then it opens up a bunch of space for Gustafson. If he's got 8 points in 8 games, he's obviously in the rush. He's making assists, making stuff happen. So I think that's a really great pick. It just makes me sad that I can only have 3 defense on my team in this league because, like,
I know
I want to have cool players and look like a genius, but I can't do anything. So hopefully you guys can reap some of this and pick up Gustafson.
I like him, and he's a rookie. Like, next year, Dynasty, like, he's a guy that no one picked up till 20 games in or 30 games in year.
Yeah.
Like, that keeper value is going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know how Chicago acts around the playoff time? Like, they tighten up, they put on their big boy pants, and they usually make a nice push, and they'll probably squeak in, I would assume. As long as they can get some goaltending from Crawford or...
They have everything it needs to make it, for sure. I can't ever count on a team with Kane, and why not? I like it.
I'll let you start with the forwards.
Good old Niederreiter. Hopefully, you guys have been picking him up. He's up to 6-4, looks like. So that's really good. He has some chemistry with the top six. He's got a lot of assists with Furlans and Aho and all those kind of cool guys. So, right when this trade happened, I was like, this is the guy who's going to benefit the most. Like, Victor Rask, who cares, wherever he's going. So, it's no surprise that a super talented offensive guy is getting points with another super talented offensive guy in Aho and stuff like that. So, I think he's a great pickup. He's definitely a guy you want for the rest of the year. He's going to accumulate points. So,
I'm surprised you could even read that Niederreiter, because that is not how you spell Niederreiter on my page.
No, there's like a bunch of E's and R's. And
like, I don't even know what I was trying to spell
and
there.
I think it's 2 T's. It looks like you're trying to spell like Niederreiter or something, like the Pokemon.
Oh!
Niederreiter.
I don't know that was at all.
Yeah, it's...
But it's time to show Niederreiter some love.
Like, I wanted to draft him this year because he had such a great season last year with the Wild.
Yeah,
and I thought he was going to break out. I thought he was going to get 70 points this year. But he got buried and just disappeared, and I was really bummed because he really took a big step forward last year, and I was really excited. And if he's on Carolina next year, I want him. For sure.
Well, he's going to be there.
For sure. Well, I mean, sorry, it's a dumb question. I will be looking for this guy for my draft next year. He's superbly talented, and if he sticks on that top line, I think he's going to get a bunch of points. I think he will crack the 70 next year for sure if they actually leave him, which they should. I mean, Carolina's kind of brutal, so they definitely got space for this guy.
And I didn't really realize this before because I'm not an Aho owner, but he's a pass-first guy. And Niederreiter's a wrist shot
from the circle. He's a finisher. Yeah, because Niederreiter, all his points of goals, I swear. Like, all of them are... Like,
yeah, well, that seems perfect then. You got Aho passing and then Niederreiter scoring. I picked him up this past week in our league because I ran into Pastrnak injuries, so that's a perfect guy to slot in, and he's not owned enough yet. Why are people so down on him? Like, show this guy some love.
I
Niederreiter, man. He's going to score.
Yeah, no, I would send him.
Out of those six in his last four games. Some beautiful.
I was drawing a blank. I was just going through my brain. I was like, what is the gift?
Flowers.
I've been single too long. I don't know what to do anymore. It's all the same. All right. Yeah, Niederreiter's a beast. Pick him up. There's no excuse. 6-4 is insane. Nothing's going to change. His opportunities are going to be the same. He's going to get 2 points a game probably for like the next whatever. He'll be okay.
Four of those points were goals too.
Yeah.
Like four goals.
It's not like he's just rotting there and getting secondary assists. He's participating. Another participator is the guy we've been basically telling you guys to pick up since the trade happened is obviously Strome.
We don't need to talk too much about
him
again.
What's he up to now?
11-7.
11-7. Okay. Yeah. Insane. So his 66-point pace that he was on is a little bit higher now. So say he's up to 72 points now. The kid can play hockey, man. And can you imagine how good it feels to be not playing 8 minutes a night?
Yeah.
With like Nick Cousins and like the trash you had to deal with in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you get to play DeBrincat and Kane sometimes. You get some power play time. Oh, okay. Yeah, Sunday hockey is a lot easier, you know? So I think Strome, well, I don't have to think anymore. I knew this was going to happen. Unfortunately, yeah. I have no spots to pick these players up. I got nothing I can do. So I'm only giving advice out to you guys. It's kind of a blessing to not have injuries, but also it really forces you not to be able to pick up any cool players. And you have to sit there and just be like, well, the team I drafted is the team I drafted because I wanted to pick him up the second it happened because I knew he was going to take off just because, like we've been saying before, top five draft pick, absolute beast of a player. So there's no excuse for any of you guys to not start him. I think he's like winger eligibility too. So like it's not like he's taking up a center spot on your team. Like, come on.
Yeah. And the same as Gustafson, Chicago.
Yeah.
Playoff push.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Like these guys have to perform. Yeah. And you bet Kane and Taze are going to that locker room saying, I know how to win a Stanley Cup, but I need you, Strome, to play better. And he's answering the call. I love it. Mm-hmm. He's already on my team. Mm-hmm. I picked up two of these guys.
I know, so it's funny. I was like, you're really like
Niederreiter and Strome
digging deep. But, I mean, they were undrafted. So, I mean, it's the theme is there. So you showed them some love already. So it's good to see.
See, I'm putting my money where my mouth
is. It's true. Exactly. Right? Exactly.
How about Nick Bjugstad? Playing with Malkin and Kessel right now.
Yeah, decent.
Since
assignment.
Coming over, he's got 2 and 3 games. The one game Malkin was suspended.
Yeah.
So I mean, that could have been why he didn't get a point. But
yeah.
What do you think of that going forward?
I don't love
it. Does he deserve love? He doesn't deserve love.
No.
Love
I think
for
he's
Nick.
A fantastic guy. He's 6'6". But you have a lot of guys coming
forever
up.
Ever alone, Nick Bjugstad.
That I really want more than him. Bjugstad's points, they got to be even strength. Okay, here, I'll be positive. Nick Schultz is back, baby. That means the second power play unit is stacked.
There you go. We're gonna
have Bjugstad, Schultz, possibly Rust.
Yeah.
Who else is on there? I can't think of anyone else.
Is Gwentzel on that line? On the second unit?
Gwentzel should be first, unless they use Hornquist instead, so maybe Gwentzel.
Yeah, I'm sure Hornquist is on the first.
Yeah, so then
there's room for him to get some points.
So, I mean, you know, there's a chance he could get something, but I'm going to say it's pretty bleak. I don't want to let you guys flame me for telling me that you picked up Bjugstad and you lost your Tanner Pearson.
See? That's what we wanted.
Pearson, Gwentzel, Pedersen, the guy I was flaming earlier.
And Schultz.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. Okay. I got nothing for you, man.
He's playing with Kessel and Malkin. How can you not get points?
It's 5-on-5, sure. But I feel like Letang just passes it to Kessel and Malkin scores or something, and Bjugstad just left behind. So this is the true gamble to me.
I'm not gonna shut the door on it, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not awful. And if you told me that he gets 15 and then in 17, I'd be like, cool, that's of course, why not? He's playing with Malkin and Kessel, of course. But those got to be all 5-on-5, and this is a coin flip. Just pick up Niederreiter instead, please. Or Strome, or something else that we're going to mention later. I do like the assignment. I mean, how can you ask for better teammates than Malkin and Kessel? Don't get me wrong. I just really hate the power play 2 unit, and I'm really scared of guys that have to be relied on for 5-on-5 points. So that is my take. Not a lot of big Valentines. He's kind of like my side chick if I had to pick. He's like gets the day old roses or the expired
chocolates. So your main chick gets like the big stuff.
Yeah, my
animal.
Main chick like Niederreiter, no problem. I pick you up, you know,
take him out on a nice
seafood
dinner.
Seafood dinner, I pay.
Oh.
Bjugstad is Dutch. He's paying half and half max, no tip. Like, I got no faith in this guy. I don't know if I'm going to see him next week kind of thing. Like, this is a Dutch, and then don't text me, I'll text you kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so okay.
That's my relationship with this guy. So I don't know if you have more love for him, but...
I just wanted to put him on there to mention it.
Hey, it's a great mention. I got no problem with that mention. I'm just saying, that is my personal opinion on the Bug, and I've loved him since Florida back in the day. I thought this guy was going to be... just because how big he was, so that is going to be pretty cool. But I hope he proves me wrong, as I hope every prediction that I make.
Maybe we can show him a little love, and we'll just take him out to Burger King. Like, no fancy seafood dinner, but we'll just take him to Burger
looking
King.
Like an A&W, two can dine for $7.99 kind of thing.
There you go.
Like, you chop it. So, yeah, whatever. That's all I got for him.
I didn't win you over on him. Okay.
I can't do it. I can't positively endorse it. There's so many other players on this list I wanted than him.
What about Heischer?
Yeah, I want him way more than I want Kessler.
How about him? 6 in his last 4 games, including a couple overtime winners.
It's funny. All these players I've been looking at and just waiting for my team to get injured so I could put someone on there. I think Heischer is great. Obviously, when the reigning GOAT himself, Hall, is back, that's like the shot in the arm of all shot in the arms. Right now, this guy's grinding it out with Palmieri and stuff. I mean, if he gets the fastest guy ever and finish master, I mean...
And he's centering the top line right now.
Yeah, he's the guy. Zajac and Zaka, they're all trash. There's no centerman. Marcus Johansson has been a ghost all year. Like, I mean, and they have no pressure. Hall's going to come back and just play some fun hockey. Kershaw's going to try to develop and just get points. I think he's a great, great pick.
I love him for Dynasty.
I wish I was in a Dynasty
people...
because I want this guy. He's going to be an 85-point player eventually, 90-point player. If he gets to stay with Hall, it's insane how talented this kid is.
Like, I think Pedersen is my number one Dynasty, but, like, Heischer's got to be very close.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I just think he's going to be so good with Hall coming in next year. They can't do worse.
They can't do worse. For sure. Again, like, Bjugstad, like you said, you screen that call, and you answer Heischer every time. There's no reason you... So, Heischer kind of sucks. He's probably only center eligibility only. But that just... Still, whatever, is what is in just our general pools as well. So I think he's going to be a great finish for the year. So I like him a lot.
And with injuries happening, I mean, those are guys that you can easily spot play, especially against easier matchups.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, New Jersey just came back from a 4-0 game to win in 5-4.
Yeah.
Schneider's first win or whatever.
Yeah, goals can happen for sure.
So we can for sure for Heischer?
For sure for Heischer.
That's a hard thing to say.
For sure.
What about Ferland?
He's going to get traded, so...
He has 5 in his last 3 games.
Keep an eye on it. If he's on Carolina, I think it's a great pick. Dude hits a lot. He's a banger master. Love him. He's an absolute beast. However, he's probably going to get traded, and he's going to get not first-line minutes, as he's been getting in Carolina.
Well, actually, he's not getting first-line anymore because Niederreiter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Niederreiter pushed him down.
Okay, so he'll get the second with whoever is on the second line. I don't know.
Teravoinen and...
Justin Williams or Teravoinen or something, yeah.
Teravoinen's on the right. The middle, I don't remember who the center is on that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Keep an eye on him, obviously, trade deadline stuff. If he gets traded anywhere to a contender, he's not getting those minutes, and he's basically garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If he stays on Carolina, I think that's a fantastic, and I'd love to have him for the rest of the year. So it's kind of funny that this guy's trade value, no matter where he goes, is awful.
Yeah, I think it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to
If I'm a Ferland owner, I move him now and try to get that expected value out of the guy before he gets traded to, like, I don't know, we'll just stick with Nashville for now kind of thing and just rots there as a third line grinder.
Or if he goes to Winnipeg.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Like, you don't have very much room in there. You got to really perform to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Anderson from Columbus. He has 8 in the last 10 games. Interesting player. He gets some okay playing time. Mm-hmm. No power play time, though.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. This guy's a 5-on-5 master. If you watch Columbus games, you actually will be surprised how good of a player this guy is and how, like, amazing of a power forward Josh Anderson is. Every time I watch him, I'm like, this guy is a really good hockey player. Unfortunately,
you said it about Bjugstad that without power play time, it scares you. So this guy has no power play time at all.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have Josh Anderson than Bjugstad. Just because I trust his 5-on-5 more. Like, Anderson, that's his bread and butter. This guy performs. Granted, he's a 50-point guy, but 50 points and 48 of them are even strength. That's insane. I love him. Again, if he he could go on a mega cold streak and just dry up on 5-on-5 as teams play tighter, or he could stick with his pace. 8-10 is very, very respectable. It's not like it's a tiny sample size of whatever. Schultz 1-1. So, yeah. I like it. I think it's a mid-tier option, but it's definitely better than Bukestad, so I'll give him the nod.
He'll get a little love going down the stretch, yeah. I'm sure.
And he hits a lot. He hits a lot.
Yeah.
And he gets penalties, so he's definitely a sweet banger option if your team is like really light in those hits and shots, because this guy is an absolute maniac when he plays. Possession beast.
Okay, last forward I have on the list here
is your boy.
Is someone I've been hyping for last week or 2 weeks, Vetrano.
Yeah.
He is playing on the top line now. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Basically, he
was on the third line last time we checked. Now he's playing on top line with Huberto and Barkov.
Yeah.
Tell me you don't want a piece of that.
I don't hate it. Vetrano can score 5-on-5. He's got to be at least on the second power play unit, so it's not total garbage.
I was saying they like this guy. Like, the Panthers are going to give him every opportunity.
He's a sniper, and that team beside Hoffman doesn't really have a true sniper. Like, Huberto is a pass master. Dadnoff's kind of a pass master. Broussard is a pass master.
Yeah, he'll be playing the second line power play, but that has Broussard centering it right now, Bjorkstrom, Ekblad, and Trocheck.
I mean, that's a very
good second
line. It's not like it's a Pettersson junk unit that I was talking about in Pittsburgh.
Obviously, two power play units are insane.
First unit's disgusting. I was just looking at it with for 2 seconds there. Like, four absolute beasts, and then
Dadnov, Barkov, Huberto, Yandel, and Hoffman.
Yeah, like, how does it get past that first unit?
Those are all players that are drafted and on someone's team right now.
No question, yeah.
That might be the only...
Like, that's pretty close.
First line that's drafted. Like, I can't think of another power play unit that everyone has drafted. Maybe Pittsburgh.
Maybe Pittsburgh or Capitals, if you really like Oshie.
Tampa.
Yeah, maybe Tampa. There's probably... Mm-hmm. But... Yeah,
Are you changing your mind on Vetrano? Are you gonna show him a little love?
I'll give him some love. I don't want him though.
No.
Yeah, I like Kreischer and a few other guys you mentioned going forward. But I don't get me wrong. Top line is very good. The guy's a sniper. He has two absolute premier passers on his line. If this guy could start and stay there on 82 games, I'd have no surprise if he scores 35 goals, and gets whatever 20 assists.
Yep.
So, I would have no surprise. But down the stretch, this is a true hardcore gamble, but it could pay off just because he's a winger. It's like, gives you that kind of winger chance.
Yeah.
It would be bold, and it would be a sweet way to win from Frank Vetrano. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
that would be very satisfying. You'd feel like a genius for sure. So,
I don't hate it.
He's a good player. He's got like 25 goals right now. He's gonna get more on that top line. It's not even close. Florida's gonna be pushing. They're in that kind of freak east spot. It's not really there, so they got lots of room to go. So they're going to play the guys who can score if they need them, and Vetrano is like the option, basically, beside Hoffman at this point for scoring goals.
Yeah, I really like Vetrano. I've said it before. Mm-hmm. How many games are left? 35?
What are we at, like 55 each for each team? I think it was 28-ish average.
Around 30
basically,
games.
Basically, yeah, under left. 30. Yeah.
So if he gets... I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 20 points.
Yeah,
the remainder of the year they're gonna be pushing.
Yeah, I could say he scores 10 and gets 5 assists, 8 assists, 18, 20 points. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's nothing to laugh at. Lots of people have injuries and stuff to deal with.
Yeah,
so. No.
And if you're in a deep league, I mean, for sure, that's the better than the average option. Like, if none of these guys are available, it's even better.
And if you're in any sort of dynasty, I'm definitely looking to pick him up, because if he's gonna stay here, that's someone I want next year and years after playing on that top line. Couple goalies I have down here, and then we'll get into the kudos and sign off for the week. Mm-hmm. We talked about Kosakainen for a minute there.
Yeah.
But you were spoiling it.
Yeah. kind of blew the party. The spoiler is that obviously you have it said in your list there that it's his job to lose, obviously. The good thing is I don't think he can even lose it.
Well, I don't think
he could go 0-20.
Stolarz.
Yeah, he can go 0-20, and it's like Stolarz, like nothing's changing.
Yeah, if he had a really big cold streak, they would have given Talbot some more starts, but that's not going to happen now.
Yeah, so
they're going to say, here, play the rest of the year. If you can prove to us that you're worth more than this, we'll sign you again.
Yeah,
or we won't look for a veteran backup, I guess, or something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. They got young guys there. He's going to be playing every single game.
Yeah, I like that he's going to be playing every single game. I just really hate the Oilers, so I can't give it. But there's nothing wrong with a goalie that's going to start every single game. If Edmonton gets hot, all of a sudden you picked up a waiver wire trash can guy that just got you 10 wins. So it's definitely a play. It's a desperate play.
They have to. And Oilers have to make the playoffs.
And as desperate as it is, they got to try. They got to try. If not, this year's a waste. Next year's going to start off in a very tough spot again.
The Oilers have to make the playoffs this year, or else it's going to be a tire fire. Like, they have to clean house if they don't make it this year.
They really have to. They got to get rid of everyone. They got to get rid of Keith Gretzky. Whatever, I could go on. All the Oilers fans know what needs to be done. So Koskinen, obviously, fantasy option just based on the pure volume of starts. If I had to pick someone else, I like Binnington more. I think Binnington is slightly getting picked up. We were looking at your guy in the league.
Yeah, Binnington is.
I love this guy going forward. Although Allen did get a freak shutout his last game, so that might have bought him a game.
It's team.
Too, right? Yeah. So that's good. I can't think of any other weird goalie. Schneider, sure, he got his first win in a year, but it's not really. I mean, how many times is your team going to come back 4-0?
To win 5.
But if Hall's back, that's obviously a bunch of wins. So. Definitely keep a track on that. So, I don't hate it. There's definitely things to be made.
The other guy I have down here is Howard for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing super, super well. And he's starting to get a little bit of trade talk around him.
Yeah, he's a great goalie. He just...
Good goalie. He has won, I think it was 4 out of the last 6.
Nice.
So it's nothing to scoff at, especially when your team in front of you is the Detroit Red Wings. I
mean, come on.
Like, I love playing Howard. Again, no one behind him.
Yep.
He's going to be playing every game. Detroit's not in a playoff spot. They're not really pushing, so it's easy hockey.
Yep.
It's just go out there, do your job, play your best.
Yep.
You spoil some playoff parties for some teams. But I love putting Howard in there, especially if your team has, or your league, sorry, does shots. He's getting 35, 40 shots a game.
Yeah, he's going to get shelled, and he might save a bunch of them. Detroit, like I said, they're playing basically whatever it is, no consequence hockey. So you can go out there and just play your game, relax. Your coach ain't yelling at you in between periods. Like, you got no pressure from the owners. It's all good. So granted, huge trade bait is Nyquist still. I don't know how much that affects Howard, Nyquist, is whatever.
They'll still probably move some players before the
deadline. Yeah, they got it. I mean, Vanek has to go, in my opinion. Nyquist has to go. And they probably should trade Howard, but who knows? You never know. Because, I mean, even having Howard next year doesn't help them, right? It's just like the team's still too trash to do anything. So
young goalies, I mean, he still has time.
Hmm. He's actually like 32.
Is he?
Yeah. Huh? I thought he was the same thing. I thought he was like 22.
I thought he was a
little. But he was at the All-Star game, and they said his age. And I was like, oh. I was like, there you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Like, apparently Howard's been in the league for a long time.
I'd be happy with Koskinen or Howard, like, rest of season, just picking up starts.
Yeah, if you got a guy like starts. Just for sure.
Especially with the way that goalies are working. Like, you don't know if Jake Allen's going to take over in St. Louis again.
Yeah.
Like, that could happen this week, and all of a sudden Jake Allen's the guy now. And you just wasted all this time with Binnington. Like, I love guys that are number ones.
No, it's brain dead for sure. I love it. Don't get me wrong, too.
I have Martin Jones. Like, that's why I want him.
Yeah, you put him in.
I never
look at
him again.
Who cares if he loses 12 in a row? He's still going to end up with 35 wins. It's just how the nature of the beast works. For sure, I like it. If you were a guy who waited and maybe you had Ranta or some just garbage players or something like that. Another one I'll give you that is I like Kemper.
Oh.
Darcy Kemper on Arizona. He got a shutout. He shut out the Leafs.
Yep.
So that's no small feat. I think same thing. Ranta's done for the year. He's got no challenge in his backup. I think Kemper's going to start every single game. If these guys aren't there, or you just for some reason think Arizona's going to do a little bit better, that's another option I'll throw my hat into if you really need a goalie in a pinch, because same thing, it's a backup playing the next 30 games. Jeez, this dog just coughed and scared me. Oh, my God.
Coughing up a hairball.
Yeah, okay, that's all I got. So maybe Kemper will pay off.
That's all the love I can give out.
My love
quota is full.
After I hit Bukestad, it was like there was nothing left.
There's no love left to give.
Just Hersher, that was it. He got my love.
All right, let's go jump into the kudos, and then we'll sign off.
Sure, my kudos is super easy. Basically, if you follow anything about Mars, the Mars rover.
Like the planet?
Yeah, yeah, the planet.
Or the chocolate bar.
Not the chocolate bar. I'm not a big Mars fan, to be honest. Does Mars have the peanuts? No, Mars just has the nougat. Which one has the peanuts? Snickers?
Yeah.
I hate Snickers. Okay. Yeah, Snickers sucks. Mars is good. Mars isn't a satisfying chocolate bar to eat, though. It's just like a giant caramel thing in yeah. your mouth. It doesn't.
Yeah,
like,
it's so squishy. And
yeah, it doesn't really do anything.
There's nothing to chew on.
Yeah, not a big fan of Mars. it's tasty, but anyway, so where I was going was that if you followed anything in with the space launches and stuff, there was a rover on that planet. Its name was Opportunity, and it just died yesterday. So super sad shout out. I know it's an inanimate object. I know it sucks, but still, science couldn't have done it without you. So shout out to the engineers and everyone that built this thing that's been on Mars forever.
How long has it been there? Do we know?
Like 3 years or something or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty. Well, I'm going to be like wrong. They're going to be like, Jesse was there for 6 months and it's not American or something. And I'm just going to get destroyed on Twitter.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you say, man. Yeah, these Twitter followers are savage.
It's true. I mean, I think it was, it's got to be close to 3 years. I'd have to look it up. But nonetheless, it had a really sad line. People are getting tattoos of it now. It's like batteries low and it's getting dark or something was the last thing it said. It's super, super sad. It's like Wall-E style.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like so cool. That's so funny. Yeah, shout out to the engineers and everyone at NASA for making such a cool drone. Shout out to the drone itself. And yeah, space travel is awesome. Hopefully you see some guys on Mars right away and they can pick them up. And I think they'll put them in like a museum or something like that. Shrine them. I think it'd be pretty cool, man. You know,
it's a really, cool.
You know, testament to man's ingenuity and stuff like that. So no video games or TV for me, just a shout out to science and mankind and all that kind of good stuff. And space is awesome. I don't care if you don't like it or not. It is where we got to go.
The final frontier.
The final frontier, exactly, as they say. So shout out to the drone opportunity and everyone that was part of building it. So that was my kudos for the week.
Sweet. Every time I think about like space stuff and hear those stories, my mind is blown. It's how is this possible?
I know, it's insane.
That there's other planets and galaxies and yeah. stuff, and we're like exploring them,
yeah, and we're hurtling around the sun, and there's infinite space in all directions, and it's like, oh god,
yeah, yeah,
really humbling stuff.
We're just a little ant,
basically,
just doing a little podcast about ants.
Yeah, talking. We're insignificant. Talking about something even more insignificant.
Fantasy hockey.
Fantasy hockey in this universe of the universe. Whatever.
All right, I'll give you guys some music to listen to this week. Have you ever heard of Run the Jewels?
Yeah, my best friend Natasha loves them. She saw them in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, she said they were so sick.
They are awesome. Yeah. So Run the Jewels is it's a rap group. They've been around for a little bit, 2012, 2014, mm-hmm. around there is when they started. They have three albums out, Run the Jewels 1, 2, and 3. And then they have another kind of joke album that's called Meow the Jewels.
Okay.
And Meow the Jewels has like a lot of cat noises in it.
Interesting.
It's just like a kind of a goof. It's funny. Their rap, it's not mumble rap. It's not, it's like the old style, like DMX rap, or who else, like Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube. They said their words, but they had like, it was more lyrics mm-hmm. that were important to them, like the phrases and burns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you caught everything they said.
Yeah, so it's like,
my point. It's not mumble
yeah,
rap.
It's very articulate. You can hear every word. It's not, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, it's kind of like that older style rap, which I love. Listen to it all the time.
Like Beastie Boys, kind of, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know.
As, like, yelling
yeah,
at okay. you. But still, like, the same thing. Like, you can hear what they're saying.
Yeah, you get every word. And, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's lyrical genius.
Yeah.
Right? It flows so nicely. I've been listening to them nonstop for the last couple weeks. It's really good, like, gym music.
Yeah,
if you're going to the gym, like throwing some Run the Jewels, and it'll get you jacked up. So like, and every song sounds different. It's not all like the same style of rap. They do a whole bunch of different styles mm-hmm. and slowing down, speeding up, and stuff like that. It is awesome.
Perfect.
Run the Jewels, check it out. Thanks for listening. It's a shorter podcast today, but
I mean, there's not a lot of content. Obviously, next week we hope we get some more trades, and as we gear up towards the trade deadline, obviously, we'll do a huge trade deadline analysis episode as well.
Yeah. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about.
Anything
interesting comes across the Twitter feed, I'll send it in.
Yeah, hit us with questions. Anything that's exciting, we'll let you know. Yeah, that's basically all I can think of. So, good luck to everyone who's in their playoffs right now. May your starters
forever start.
Be strong. Yeah, just forever start.
Never be injured again.
Yeah.
And keep those questions coming at Fantasy NHL Talk. we will answer as many as we can, and we will talk to you next week.